But you can only get to be 1 in 100 if you do something that only 1 in 100 does. And to do that, you have to be really weird and contrarian.
Welcome to Future Skills, where we prepare you for a future of accelerating change. I'm Ludvig Sundström.
And I'm Mikael Syding.
In this episode, we'll talk about contrarianism. What is it and when does it pay?
So, what is it?
Well, in all areas of life, there are 3 possible positions that you could have. And that's to be a herd animal, a stoic, or a contrarian. A herd animal, that's someone who's just looking to other people, not thinking much, kind of clamoring for safety.
That's most of us, right?
Yeah. And a stoic, then you're unreactive to the crowd and you're pretty calm. You're focused on yourself, focused on your work, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, we have talked about stoicism and being stoic in earlier episodes.
Yeah.
And it's a good way of life. It's something to strive to be, actually.
Yeah, and that's one of the big points in this episode, that you want to be stoic in as many areas of life as possible. Okay, and then the third thing, that is to be a contrarian. And that is when you're unreactive to the crowd and you're bold enough to go against the crowd.
Yeah, so you can express this in a little bit different way, and it's that you have to be independent enough, which is really to be bold enough.
Okay, yeah. And you don't want to be a herd animal in pretty much not any area of life, because what most people are doing is rarely the right thing. And you would want to be a stoic in pretty much all areas of life, but you can't be a contrarian in more than a few areas of life.
I guess that is partly because it's difficult and it takes a lot of willpower and consumes a lot of energy being a contrarian. But I'd like to stress one more thing about this, and it's that even if you're a contrarian, you still have to be prepared to sometimes go with the herd. So your contrarian instinct can't be too strong, because if you always just go against the herd for the sake of going against the herd, then you will go wrong a lot of times.
Yeah. That kind of speaks for itself. And I think partly, to begin with, you can't be a contrarian in too many areas of life, because it requires that you have to read up on whatever it is. You're not really, I suppose you could say that you're a contrarian, but you're more like a teenage rebel if you're just going against something just to be against it without having an educated opinion on it.
I think that's key, the educated opinion. To be able to be contrarian something, you first need to understand the thing that you are contrarian against. So you know when to be intelligently contrarian rather than just always being against.
Right. But going back to what you said about being independent, when you say that, do you mean that you shouldn't, like, even if, let's just say that you are contrarian in the way that we're saying, so you have an educated opinion on something and you go against it, but are you saying then that you shouldn't have so strong emotional commitment?
Yeah, exactly. You have to be indifferent towards going with or against the crowd. And I talk about this mainly from a financial markets perspective, where once I understood what being a contrarian meant, I started to think about this a lot, and I finally understood that it wasn't about doing the opposite of what everybody else was doing. Like, for example, some people say that you should buy when there's blood on the streets. Yeah, maybe, and it does work if there isn't more blood on the streets later. But if you're really read up on the situation, then you understand when the tide has turned. Sure, there is a lot of blood, but maybe you also see the light in the end of the tunnel. And then you can buy while there still is blood, but the upside is visible. And you have to be truly independent to do that, not just looking for the blood.
Right. Maybe we focus too much on the blood. I mean, all of us in general.
Yeah.
Because that's where the payoff is.
Yeah, and that's the herding instinct. You want to run away from the blood.
If we take it outside of the financial market standpoint, I think you can be a contrarian in other areas of life too, in general, like politics or things like that, where you go against the popular opinion. And I would say that I have a contrarian stance on media consumption and on breakfast. So I'm very much against both of those things.
Yeah, and those are studied opinions, right? You have thought about these.
Yeah, and eliminated them and don't like them in any way.
I mean, because it would be quite easy to just say, no, I don't read newspapers or watch the news on TV because it's boring and everybody else is doing it. And especially my parents did it.
Well I don't know. I think it's kind of fun. It's really fun to read newspapers. You can just sit there and read them, and that's the point. You'll just sit the whole day and you can't throw the paper away because it has just funny gossip and gossip stories and like Trump this, Trump that, da 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 da.
Sure, and taking it from a superficial view, you could say that I don't like to surf the web. I think that doesn't give me any utility whatsoever, and therefore I don't read blogs. But a blog can be a very different thing. I mean, either it's just these like teenage girls showing today's outfit, or it can be a blog like yours, Start Gaining Momentum, where you get deep insight into life and tools for becoming a better person. And if an outside person says, "Oh, that's just reading blogs," and I don't read blogs, then that's a situation where you don't know enough to be an intelligent contrarian.
Right. I think it's safe to say that being a herd animal is a sure way to fail at life, whereas being a stoic is a good thing and it will lead to a more fulfilling life and above average success. But being a contrarian is a prerequisite to succeed really big, or being independent, as you put it.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to maybe put this a little bit differently. Even if you are just behaving like a herd animal, maybe you couldn't really call it failing, because that would mean that like 80-90% of the people fail at life, which they really don't. They just don't become extraordinary in any way. Some of them fail, of course, but a lot of them are just expressing the human condition.
All right, but you failed to live a really interesting life.
Yes, definitely. And when we say that being a contrarian is a prerequisite for success, and also taking a risk to really fail, it's really just contrarians that can fail stupendously.
Yeah, but that's also kind of inherent in those who do succeed, where the upside is worth it.
This was what I was getting at, and it's that the definition of, for example, rich or success, I think the definition is being like the 1%. So it's always relative to the rest, and it doesn't say exactly in what direction you are the 1%. You have to define that yourself. But you can only get
the
there.
1% most obnoxious.
but you can only get to be 1 in 100 if you do something that only 1 in 100 does. And to do that, you have to be really weird and contrarian.
But what I think is interesting about contrarianism in general is that not just in terms of business and so forth, but also in terms of the coolest and best philosophers were super contrarian, like Schopenhauer, for example, or the scientists like James Watson or Edward Wilson. They were both outspoken contrarians who took a big risk and went against the conventional thinking of their fields. And it took a long time for the other people to catch on to them. And then eventually they redefined the field.
And some people get the benefits of actually being recognized as geniuses in their time, but not everybody.
Yeah, and also the point is, you know, now that we have social media and so forth, you will see the ones who do succeed in that case much, much more often. Whereas before, maybe 300 years ago, you would have this person with the exact same genetics and thinking the same thoughts and putting them on paper and succeeding in the same way. But it wouldn't spread outside of that little village. Going back to what you said before about independence, being independent-minded, you were saying that someone who's like an unthinking contrarian is likely to have a miserable life. And I think a really good example of that would be like the rebellious kids who are sitting in the back of the class, but you know, back in school.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent example. I think that paints a salient picture of being an unthinking contrarian and why it is so bad. I mean, if you want success, you have to do something different. And those guys back in class, they weren't really looking for success. Maybe they were looking for success in terms of, look at me, I'm so cool.
That's exactly the point. But the way to achieve the coolness is to sit in the back of the class and smoke.
Anyway, that kind of contrarianism of just going against the grain for the sake of it, if you're that kind of unthinking contrarian, you don't really know why you are doing things. You actually you're even below the herding instinct, because you see the herd and they have a natural instinct to move together, and most of them will lead just normal lives. And then you have this contrarian instinct that you think, okay, I will do exactly like the herd is doing, just the opposite. And that's really a recipe for most of the time doing really stupid stuff. And since you're not thinking about how your direction should be opposite, you probably never will stumble upon a really intelligent opposite direction.
Well, what you're saying, I think, is true, but I think you're kind of talking on it from a pretty high level. And I think actually that it could be a good first step to think the opposite. You might fail very badly, like you say, especially in the markets. But in general, I think it's a good start to begin with. And you kind of stumble forward, and you're really awkward, and you make a fool of yourself. But then you learn with the feedback.
Yeah, sure. I definitely agree with you that it's a good exercise to do things differently, to become acquainted with the feeling of standing outside the group.
Yeah. That's pretty much what I meant.
Yeah, but then you have to use the feedback process to fine-tune in which direction, so you don't just end up sitting in the back of the class all the time.
So let's do a little bit of a summary here and think about how you would rank yourself in terms of these three different distinctions: herd animal, stoic, and then, like Mikael saying, independent, and finally, on the far opposite extreme side, contrarian. And a herd animal is just going with everyone else, whether it's the crowd or it's the popular social opinion. A stoic doesn't care and just focuses on himself and remains serene and focused on the work. And a contrarian takes a stand against something, and when he's right, he's rewarded big. But when he's not right, he makes a fool of himself and loses credibility.
And I think one important thing to consider here is, sure, it sounds very fine being a contrarian with all the potential upside, but what one has to understand is that there is a high probability of being wrong and considered the fool for a high number of times and time.
Right. And I think the most, well, we have two really practical advice here to finish up this episode. And the first is that being a stoic, or rather trying to be a stoic in as many areas of life as possible, instead of being a herd animal, that's a really good thing for most people. And it's the low hanging fruit of effort, really, because it's the easiest way to become happier and less stressed.
And I think the tool to be able to get there is to know more and to know things in a deeper way, because when you really truly know something, when you're certain of the functioning and the processes, then you know enough to see the next level, and you know enough to be certain and actually stoic in the face of a laughing crowd. So knowledge and skill is really where you want to go to be able to foster your contrarianism.
Yeah, exactly, because then you've done the hard work to ground it in, well, rational self-esteem.
Exactly.
And then as a final advice here, which is a really easy way to get started to becoming more towards the contrarian, or at least the stoic manner, it is to stop reading the newspaper, stop watching TV, and stop following mainstream media, unless it's directly a part of your job. Because you'll hear about it from other people anyway, because humans are, you know, we've evolved to gossip and talk about stuff, so you can trust other people to tell you for free.
If you just keep reading and watching the exact same thing as everybody else is doing, then you become the herd. There's almost no way to escape it. Sure, you want to know at least a little bit about what everybody is talking about and what everybody else is thinking and knowing. But as Ludwig just said, you will get to know that anyway, because everybody will be talking about it all the time. So take the time to really curate your inputs and find other books, other sources, and other blogs to read where you get quality information.
Yeah, and when you do that and you stop following the mainstream media, so to speak, then you will also save up a lot of time. And like you were saying now, Mikael, this is what we're going to talk about much, much more and much more practical in the next episode, about how to really differentiate your sources of information.
Yeah, and that was it for today. So remember to subscribe to the Future Skills newsletter.
Thanks for listening, and bye.
Goodbye.